Welcome to this installment of the Tractor Time podcast. Today we're launching the third episode of our three-part series, Integrating Precision Analysis with Crop Input Applications. This series is brought to you by Apical Crop Science, a company dedicated to helping farmers reach maximum crop quality and yields within organic and regenerative production standards. Through data-driven and laboratory methods, Apical delivers enterprise-grade solutions and systems that are more precise, cost-effective, and successful. Apical Crop Science, a new paradigm of crop nutrition. Learn more at apical-ag.com. That's apical-ag.com. I'm your host, Paul Meyer, editor of Acres USA Magazine, and today we're talking again with David Knaus, the founder and president of Apical Crop Science, and we're going to be talking about leaf sap analysis. So welcome, David.
Thanks again, Paul. It's great to see you again.
Great. So this is the sexy stuff, leaf sap analysis. We've talked about water analysis, and we talked about soil analysis, and now the most recent of these technologies, sap analysis. And to many people, analyzing leaf sap seems complex and cumbersome. It revolves around quite a bit of expertise and familiarity with the science and the processes that are involved. It's just different than the traditional soil analysis. So what to begin with, what is sap analysis and what should farmers know about it? And what should they feel confident about? Why should they feel confident about using it in order to be more precise in the way they farm?
Yeah. So leaf sap analysis is, in a nutshell, analyzing plants during the growing season for the purposes of steering crop outcomes. And what we're analyzing is the liquid fraction that's flowing through the plant's vascular system, and in particular, in the leaves. And to your point, I would say that, yeah, on the surface, it does seem as though it may be some of those adjectives, you know, cumbersome, complex, and so forth. But I would say really, realistically, it's not cumbersome. It may be somewhat complex, but is it worth it? I would say unequivocally, 100%, with every fiber of my body, absolutely. And the reason is that once you have a reasonable understanding of leaf sap analysis, or you have a relationship with a consultant that is experienced with leaf sap analysis, the ability to make crop nutrient management decisions becomes unparalleled. In the 10 years that we've been involved in sap analysis, we've seen the most incredible successes based on the analysis, interpretation, recommendation, and application sequence. To this day, it is the most precise form of analysis that's available that can be used to connect crop performance with fertilization strategies. And if I might humbly say so, without it, you're really just guessing. Although I do mean that in the nicest possible terms.
Why do you say that? Why are you only guessing if you don't have leaf sap analysis?
Well, you know, as we previously discussed in the last episode, soil analysis started out with a fundamental flaw, and that is the monitoring of carbon cycling was not included. And so if that's true, then how are we supposed to have confidence in the entirety of the rest of the system? This is what we uncovered. I actually uncovered it, unfortunately, myself about 15 years ago by applying to the gram what was supposed to be applied based on a soil analysis recommendation and having the worst crop failure of my life. But in the last 10 years or so, what we've uncovered is that a soil analysis may or may not correlate to what's actually happening in the plant. And we kind of discussed this in the last episode where I went into the details about different extraction protocols and the soil test is not a soil test, it's not a soil test.
Before you go much more into a leaf sap analysis, can you just distinguish real quick? Some people are probably familiar with leaf tissue analysis.
Yeah, right. And so that's a great question. The difference between a leaf sap analysis and a leaf tissue analysis is a leaf tissue analysis is the moisture in the plant is dried off and not included in the analysis. In a leaf sap analysis, all that we're analyzing is the fluid that's flowing through the plant.
So it's kind of more like a blood test for a person would be the analog.
Yeah, it would be the equivalent of a blood, endocrine, organ, all the fluids that are in your body all at once expressed.
Good. And, you know, not everyone is familiar with SAP testing yet. So why do some people have reservations about it?
I think because happens at a time of the season when growers have a million things to do. And it's just another thing to do. And it's just another thing that you might have to, oh, well, now we have to make changes in our normal plan or our normal cropping program based on what the plant's telling us. But like we discussed in the last episode, allowing the plants some input and feedback about what they prefer and what they don't prefer provides us with a huge amount of resources for limiting crop input price, for including carbon fertilization strategies, for buffering nutrient applications, and so on and so forth, which is the heart of what we do of the analysis that we find from sampling the leaves.
And can we go back to how SAP analysis provides such precise, direct insight into what's happening in the field? How is it able to do that? What does a sample look like that the farmer is collecting, and what are they going to get back from that?
Right. So in a nutshell, the grower walks out in the field, they take a handful of new leaves of the plant and submit them in a plastic bag. They take a handful of new leaves of the old leaf of the plant and they submit those in another separate plastic bag. Those two results are compared on an individual analysis to see where the plants are translocating and storing nutrients. So it's an additional layer of fertilization verification. Are we providing the right fertilizer to the plant for growth? That's really what we're answering. And it can be somewhat uncomfortable to realize that we might not be making the right decisions all the time, right? And so this is what we often find through SAP analysis, is are we making the right decisions for fertilization or not? And by having a conversation with the plant through data, we're able to understand, should we apply more fertilizer or do we have enough of many different nutrients all in one single test very, very rapidly?
How are people in the industry reacting to this? Do they share your feelings about how important SAP analysis is?
That's a great question. Some yes and some no. But I would say that with a caveat. So not everyone has had access to the technology, and that's the biggest limitation. So for many, many years, I think at least about 10 years, folks around the world were doing SAP analysis, but nobody in the US was. We took the leap in 2017 and opened our lab, and we have been able to analyze and sample thousands and thousands of crops, you know, dozens of crops, thousands of samples since then. But not many people have widespread access to that sort of data set. And when you start to look at those nutrient applications and how they're moving nutrients through the plant, how those correlate in real time to physiological symptoms, disease pressure, insect counts, harvest volumes, etc., you know, there's very few people out there really worldwide that have had access to that level of sophistication. It takes significant commitment to get there. We took the plunge, like I mentioned, and unfortunately, a lot of people have only, you know, they might do one or two samples a year and kind of see some things, but maybe quite not get the hang of it. But in our experience, we've worked with growers on thousands of acres all across many, many different states in dozens of different cropping types. And what we found is that there's extreme correlation between the performance of the plant with the analysis reports.
Can you talk just a little bit about the recommended techniques, like how often growers should be sampling? And then along with that, of course, you know, some people might balk at, well, it costs X dollars per sample, and you're telling me I need to sample however often, more than once a year. But there's great benefit to that too. I mean, it's, you have to spend money to make money, right?
Sure. Yeah. So the general sampling, like I mentioned, is you're just taking a handful of leaves from the new leaf and the old leaf of the plant and submitting them with good labels to our lab. That's it in a nutshell. But how to actually do that on a day-to-day basis, you need to sample at a consistent time of day. You need to sample it, ensure those samples are clean and free of debris and other residue and so forth. They need to be placed into appropriate bags that preserve the moisture, i.e. Ziploc bags. Those bags need to have appropriate labels, and they need to be shipped appropriately. So you need to include ice packs, insulation, and appropriate shipping duration in order to get it to the lab to provide the results and get them turned around to you as quick as possible.
And then how many times or how often are growers doing this sampling?
Yeah, and so that depends on the crop. Realistically, it's 4 to 6 times per season for the average grower in an average crop. For the aggressive growers in a high dollar value crop, you might be doing 4 to 8 times per season.
Great, cool. And then, so yeah, can you talk a little bit more about why there isn't greater adoption of this technology? I mean, it seems so incredible that you can learn in a real time, basically near real time, what's going on in your plant. Why aren't more people doing this?
You know, I've often wondered that myself. And what I've found through investigation is that on the one hand, we've have an aversion generally to new scary things. That's just a natural human tendency. On the other hand, you have, somebody to manage the sampling process in season. You know, growers are not typically able to walk out there and they're not used to it anyways. It's not in their normal routine oftentimes. But the biggest one, and probably the most unfortunate of all, is that the investigation of leaf sap analysis was somewhat abandoned by academic research back in the 50s. However, what we've found is that there's huge amounts of data and research that have been found even in the last 20 years of various institutions that have looked at leaf sap analysis. But the bigger deal is that in order to actually get out of it what we want, right, ideal crop outcomes or even improved crop outcomes, it takes commitment, it takes money, it takes a lab, it takes constant analysis. You need thousands of samples, you need comparison of samples. You need to look across multiple different crops. You need to have experience putting out applications and watching how those run, and then analyzing the subsequent data sets. And that's what we've been really investigating at Apical for the last 10 years, is how to sample the crop, identify the problem, prescribe an application, apply that application, evaluate that application, its efficacy, and then repeat. So doing that over and over and over across thousands of samples, across thousands of acres, provides us a little bit of a different perspective than most on the sap analysis. So obviously we see, well, gosh, if you look at all these samples, look at all this data, we see salt problems here, we see metals problems here, we see, you know, reduced yield and tonnage from over-application of nutrients there. And I'm extremely over-generalizing, right? So, but to unlock all that, like I mentioned in the previous episode, the simplest way is to apply more carbon.
Sure, sure. Can you give us some examples of growers who have used this technology effectively?
We're into the thousands at Apical in terms of number and those type of growers. So every day we're diagnosing physiological problems from nuts, fruits, grains, corn, beans, alfalfa, vegetables, and so on and so forth. You know, all crops require nutrients, move nutrients in predictable patterns, sample those nutrients, analyze those nutrients, and provide that data. So just last week, we identified the cause of a local block of kiwis that was in decline from metal stress. The week before that, it was ammonium combined with aluminum stress and rhubarb. Yesterday at 10 a.m., it was phosphorus fertilization levels in corn. By 11, it was potassium fertilization in wheat at late stage growth. By noon, it was nitrogen rate fertilization in hops. By 1 p.m., it's designing foliar sprays for cherries that included both molybdenum and calcium synergistically. 2 p.m., nitrate toxicity in blueberries. By 4 p.m., saline toxicity in almonds. I mean, the list just goes on. It's just a nonstop array of the application of the technology to real life, hardcore monetary problems and solutions on a day-to-day basis at Apical.
And even with bonsai trees, right?
We touched on this in our discussion last year. We've found some success helping bonsai growers in the last 24 months at Apical. It's been a real joy working with those guys. And now we've expanded from a handful of growers into the greater bonsai community at large in our country and moving into the other parts of the world. So it's crazy what we've done with those crops, because it's, you know, there's old plants, small tree or small pots, and very large amount of value. But we've helped to remediate a large number of bonsai trees for a bunch of different growers, and we're just kind of continuing that effort. It's really rewarding to see old trees be reinvigorated by our technology and our processes. It's very gratifying.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, because the principles of soil health and of plant health, they apply not just to corn and soybeans, right?
Well, right. Like I mentioned, all plants require nutrients. They move nutrients in predictable patterns. And when you sample those patterns predictably, you can analyze and provide appropriate solutions. So yeah, that's really the thesis behind what we're doing with the SAP analysis. And, everyone, like you said at the beginning, it seems like it's sort of this mystical thing. But at the end of the day, we are following extremely regimented processes, protocols, and for not just the analysis and sampling, as well as the actual applications and repeat performance of those.
Yeah. Just one last question. Would you say that most of the recommendations that you give as a result of a sample have to do or include some foliar feeding? It seems like plant sap analysis, way more so than soil analysis, would lend itself to recommendations for foliar feeding.
That's awesome. I'm glad you asked that. So, just delving two steps back with our water analysis, we look at how to apply for or how to modify a water for foliar spray or for irrigation. For our soil analysis, we look at solid applications, so i.e. like something, a mineral like a lime or a gypsum or something like that, as well as soluble nutrition in the form of carbon or soluble micronutrients. And then with SAP analysis, what we look at is liquid soluble root applied nutrition, as well as foliar nutrition at the same time. And so each way, if you get a recommendation from each one of those type of analysis at our lab, you get those corresponding recommendation.
Cool. Now that's great. Well, thank you, David. And thank you to our audience for listening to this podcast on leaf sap analysis. This concludes our series on integrating precision analysis with crop input applications. We want to again thank David and remind you, our listeners, that David will be speaking at the 5th annual Acres USA Healthy Soil Summit in Monterey, which by the time this comes out will be next week. It's August 23rd and 24th. You can learn more and sign up at events.acresusa.com. And again, before we sign off, thank you to our sponsor, Apical Crop Science, a new paradigm of crop nutrition, delivering data-driven enterprise-grade solutions for improving regenerative agricultural systems. Learn more at apical-ag.com. That's apical-ag.com. For Tractor Time and Acres USA, I'm your host, Paul Meyer. Until next time, thank you.